Hey Rock Movers, it's Karen, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in. This season, season number two, the 22 version, we have a few different guests lined up for you because we're letting the boys play. That's right, season two of the Rock Movers includes a few rock movie men that are helping us move rocks too. So stay tuned. We've got some great episodes coming, including this one right now.
All right. Welcome, welcome, Rock Movers. Today, you guys get to learn about someone that is near and dear to my heart. She has been a part of my coaching journey from the very beginning, one of the people that inspired me to want to do this. And her name is Valerie Hayes. This amazing, daring rock mover has always been a rock mover. From a very young age, she learned that if she wanted something to happen, she had to figure it out for herself. She put herself through college, pursued a career in corporate America, and then successfully ran a business for 18 years as a leading pageant interview coach, which is how we met Valerie. But when COVID hit, the pageant industry has crashed because we can't have these in-person pageants and contests anymore. And so her business went under and was challenged. She needed to pivot, but her first idea was a complete flop. We've all been there. We all understand that. But this rock mover was determined to succeed, so she decided to pivot her pivot. 2020 is the year for the pivot. Now she runs a successful job search consulting business, helping people get the job they want so they can change their life. Valerie is living proof that you can find success by moving rocks and then polishing them until they shine. And I love that you use my rock moving.
It's a great tagline or theme or motto. I just love it. I was immediately drawn to it, when I first started listening to your podcast. It's just a great way of describing what it is we're all trying to do to achieve success, really.
Thank you. It really has just been the synopsis of my life is moving rocks. And I know some of the things that you've mentioned that we've talked about, yours as well. So welcome, 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 my dear sweet friend, Valerie Hayes, to the Rock Moving Podcast.
Thank you, Karen. It's an honor to be invited. You are such a wonderful person, making such an impact in so many people's lives, both through your coaching programs and through the podcast. And I was really honestly just thrilled to be invited.
Wow, thank you. It is my honor because, as I mentioned in the introduction, I have looked up to you for so many years. You were instrumental in my daughter Stephanie's success in her pageant world and the competition, and you made some amazing introductions to people that also contributed to her success, and you just were always this voice of reason, this calm in the storm, and had a way with words that helped us understand things in a new light. And tremendously impacted Stephanie's success and her confidence and who she is today as a mom, as a woman, as a business owner. So first off, I want to publicly thank you for that impact that you had on her.
And thank you for those very kind words. It's very kind. And of course, Stephanie was fabulous to work with. I enjoyed every moment. And you were a great pageant mom to work with too.
Thank you. And let's be honest, Stephanie was not always great to work with. She was very bullheaded and very stubborn, which is...
But those are always the most talented. I'm sure you know already from coaching, your most challenging coaching clients are also your most talented and have the greatest potential. So the payoff is really wonderful when it happens.
I think they are the ones that don't give up when the rest of things go hard. Don't go the way that you think they will, but it did take a bit for you to get through to her in changing her mentality. So that's why I was saying she wasn't always wonderful, but she is an amazing, wonderful human and mom, and learned so much from you. And I'm so proud of her. She had tremendous success, and very, very proud of her for working so hard. But that isn't why we're here. We're here to talk about all the things that you're doing now, and with COVID and everything that's going on. Tell us, what are you doing these days to, my first question is always, to move the rocks for yourself? What self-care pieces are you doing?
Well, in a way, I was really, so it was kind of a double-edged sword. I had challenges early in life as a young child, and but they also turned out to be blessings that helped me develop skills that I'm able to use now. My parents were not engaged, were not supportive. I think that you could say that they were good people individually, but they were in a marriage that was very stressful, and both of them felt very trapped in the marriage. And because of the stress in that relationship and the frustration and the anger, they were bad parents. And it was hard growing up. And I remember realizing in the sixth grade that my parents just didn't have the emotional bandwidth to be supportive. They were all doing all the physical things, providing food, shelter, clothing, getting us to and from school. But that's sort of where it ended. They just weren't able to invest emotionally because they were completely spent themselves. And so in the sixth grade, I recognized that that was a challenge, and that if there were things that I wanted to do, I was going to have to do them myself. And to make it even slightly more complicated, I was gifted with talents and abilities that were different than what my parents were or what they expected. My father is absolutely brilliant, and his gift was in math and science, a totally, a genius level person. And their first child, my older sister, was also extremely intelligent and gifted in math and science. And so they sort of expected that their second child might be too, and no, that was me. Here I am. And I was much more interested in social things, in friends, in activities. I was in all kinds of activities in high school. I knew everybody. Everybody knew me. I interacted with all kinds of different groups. I was very curious. And so I was very highly motivated towards social skills. And that was hard for them to value because of their own personal backgrounds and experience. And so unfortunately, on more than one occasion, my father would tell me how stupid I was and that he did not believe I would ever graduate from college. And my mother, you know how mothers are, they're a little more hopeful, right? A little more hopeful. She thought I might make it through high school, but that I wasn't smart enough to, but I wasn't smart enough to go to college. And so she, and, you know, of course, my older sister was smart enough to go to college, and they encouraged her to go to college. But they thought that if I graduated from high school, that I could maybe get through a program in vocational school and get a job like as a medical technician testing blood or something. And so there were a lot of messages as I was growing up that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't smart enough, I didn't have what it takes, and that the dreams and the things that I was interested in doing and pursuing weren't worth doing, and that I should do, you know, math and science instead. And my older sister would absolutely love to sit down and flow chart a problem and, you know, get a resolution. And I was much more interested in, you know, being in the marching band or, you know, watching a classic movie. So it was very hard for them, and it was hard for me. And so I remember in junior high, I started to develop sort of a framework of how to get things done. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school, that's when it really sort of blossomed for me. I did, yes, in fact, graduate from high school. And I did go on to put myself through college. And after the fact, there was no one more prouder than my dad that I had gotten through college. After that, he was my biggest fan. But so I learned that to move rocks, no matter what the situation is, whether it's you know, people telling you that you don't have what it takes to succeed, or they don't believe in your potential, or going through a difficult job change, difficult relationship situation. My husband and I have been married for 36 years. Certainly we've had ups and downs, you know, in just regular life stuff. And I think you need to have a framework in place that you sort of rely on, and that is kind of your go-to framework for living. Because otherwise, I think it's very easy to get pulled in different directions. And, you know, one person says do this thing, one person says do that thing. There's a lot of people out there with advice. And I think it's great to listen to the advice, but you have to develop your own framework. Yeah. So over time, I sort of came up with what I very loosely call my 6 success life hacks. And wow. These are the things that I always make sure I'm doing, no matter what's going on, no matter what challenge I'm facing, I'm always doing these things. And although they might not sound like self-care, they really are self-care, because these are tools and processes and systems that I rely on to help me get to where I want to be, right? There's a difference between where I want to be or you want to be and where other people want you to be.
Absolutely.
Right? And so you have to be genuine and authentic to yourself. And so the first one of those, like my first life hack, is to create a strong vision. If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. There's that story about that reporter who went to do an interview with Will Smith, the famous actor, and walked into the living room, and there was a wall with post-it notes all over the wall. You might've heard this story. And it was just covered with post-it notes. And the reporter asked what those were. And, Will Smith said those were the different scenes for a movie that he was in the process of writing and producing. And the reporter was just overwhelmed with the number of post-it notes. And he goes, how do you even know where to start? There's so many things up here. How do you know where to start? And Will Smith said, you always start with the last scene. You put the post-it note up that describes the last scene, the ending that you're trying to create. And then you reverse engineer everything. How do I get to this spot? And so you need to have a strong vision. Every year I have a vision board or a dream board. Mm-hmm. I put them up in my room. I also have one in my bathroom so I can look at it when I'm getting dressed. And I just find it really, really helpful to have a visual representation of what I'm doing. It helps me remember what my goals are, because with so many things pulling at us for time and energy, it's easy to forget. And right now I had cut out some pictures about decorating. I'm working on decorating my entryway in my house and my library, which is just outside the office there. And then also the powder room on the first floor. And because it's really been kind of something nice and positive to hang on through during COVID. You know, I'm creating beauty and harmony, and especially during a year where everything seems to be complete chaos. Yeah. And another thing that's helpful about the vision board is when I have free time, I ask myself, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh, what should I be doing? I think, what can I do from my vision board? What is something on my vision board that I could be working on right now?
Yeah.
And so that really kind of helps too. So the first thing I do to move rocks is create a vision board, so I know what I'm trying to build with my rocks, right? And then the second thing, my second life hack, and I've been doing this really since high school, is I have what I call a planner habit. It's not a planner addiction. It's just a planner habit.
And it can become an addiction, though.
It really can, let's be honest. I get easily distracted. And sometimes I feel like I can set a goal and keep that goal in my head for 3 days. And then after 3 days, I have something else I've thought of that I want to do, right? So at the beginning of every week, I pick out 3 things that I want to accomplish that week. And then I, you know, and these are more project things, not to do things, not like, you know, drop off the dry cleaning or pick up the prescription or do a deposit at the bank. These are more project things that are actually going to move me closer to something on my dream board or vision board. And so I pick out 3 things, and then I make sure to work on at least one of those 3 things each and every day. And sometimes I'll, on Friday, spend the whole day on one of those things. And I find that is really, really helpful. I also, as part of my planner habit, plan the next day every night. Now, usually, I know that people say, oh, you know, you should take your planner, your paper planner to bed. And okay, girl, by the time I'm going to bed, I'm freaking exhausted. And I just don't have the energy. Okay, now I have the plan tomorrow. So I just, on the notes app on my phone, I just write down, you know, 3 to 5 ideas of things that I want to do the next day. And in the morning when I wake up, then I'm full of energy and ready to go. Then I plan out the day. So you just have to find, you know, a lot of people do it at night. I do it sort of at night and in the morning. And you just have to do what works for you. Also, and the reason why I call it planner habit as opposed to, you know, addiction is I don't use my planner every day. During the week, I use it Monday through Friday every day, my written planner, just because it helps me keep on track. On the weekends, I give myself a little room to be a little bit more relaxed. I have ideas of things that I want to get done, but I give myself some breathing room to make sure I'm having fun too, because, you know, and I'm sure we've all done this. We can work ourselves to death.
Yes.
And you're creating success for other people and you're making meaningful contributions, but you're not experiencing joy or happiness in your own life. You know, I'm sure, unfortunately, we've all been there. So I think if you're using a planner, you need to use that planner as a tool to create success and happiness for you, not just to get things done for other people, right?
So I'm sitting here closing my eyes and just visualizing that, because it becomes something that is another source of guilt at times, because I didn't get my list done.
Exactly. And I've also learned that for me, I can do an extended period of like really, really focused work. Mm-hmm. Like for 3 weeks last month, I was building my new website, which I did all by myself. And it was really, really focused because I sort of didn't know what I was doing. Sort of knew what I was doing, but I was learning a lot of new skills and things, right, how to make it all work, right? So I was really, really focused on that. And then when it was done, I needed a week of not being really, really focused. Mm-hmm. Right? I needed to give myself, okay, now I need some breathing room. Now I need some space. And so you need to learn what works for you, because what works for someone else is not going to be what works for you. You need to try to find a balance between productivity and breathing. I call it breathing time, because when you have breathing time, and sometimes, you know, you've heard that old saying, the best ideas come when you're in the shower, right?
I have heard that, and it's true.
Yes. And it's because you're not really focused on doing something. You actually have breathing time to think, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've been more conscious, especially this year, mm-hmm, about making sure I have breathing time. So that's my little planner habit. And then the last couple years, Karen, I've been really, really focused on managing what I call the three success essentials. Mm-hmm. And for me, those are time, money, and energy. Time, that's an obvious one. What's the most impactful use of my time right now? There are, you know, we as women get lots of demands on our time, and there's lots of priorities that we're trying to juggle and get to. And sometimes we have to say no, mm-hmm, to people. And sometimes we have to allow ourselves breathing time, right? Because I've learned that if I burn out, it will not be effective, you know? And in my coaching business, I want to do the very best I can for every client I'm helping with their job search, whether I'm working on their resume or their cover letter, or what's our strategy, where are we looking for jobs, what's the LinkedIn profile look like. I want to do my very, very best. And in order to do that, I have to make sure I'm using my time effectively and, mm-hmm, in a way that will be impactful. So sometimes that means working really, really hard. And sometimes that means, again, that breathing room. And then for money is one of those things where I don't know that it necessarily contributes to your personal success. I don't know that people who have more money are necessarily more successful. But I think the reason why it's important for me to make sure I'm managing my money and everything's, you know, kind of automatically going in the right spots and getting paid is because it eliminates stress.
Absolutely.
Right? If you've got, you know, you've got enough for this bill or that bill, or you've got we had like 3 large household unexpected expenses this year, of course, the COVID year. And my husband had surgery and was hospitalized. So he's been in the hospital twice this year. So we had a lot of unexpected expenses, and I didn't have to stress about any of them, which was a blessing, right? So the only reason why I find for me personally, it's sort of a self-care thing to manage my money is because it eliminates what for many people is the number one stress factor. And that enables me to focus on other stuff, right? And then the third success is central energy. This is something I've sort of learned a little bit later in life that it's important to manage. I really learned to take care of my sleep, make that a priority, and to, you know, work out enough so that I'm energized and invigorated, but not so much that I'm, you know, have to take a 2-hour nap.
Yeah.
And then I've also learned to limit my carbs because, you know, we've all heard about the carbohydrate brain fog. You know, if you have too many carbs, you kind of get brain fog and you don't think as clearly. And I can just tell you, I absolutely believe that carbs make me stupid. If I have too many carbs, I feel like, you know, I don't know what to do. I just feel stupid. Like I can't, not even, I don't make good decisions. I can't even make a decision,
yeah. Right?
So I haven't eliminated carbs totally because I love carbs, who doesn't? But I have learned, you know, to balance it. If I have a carb heavy lunch, I don't have as many carbs at dinner, right? If I've had a lot of carbs during the day, let's not go out to Dairy Queen at night because it does impact me and I do feel it the next day. And I think that's one thing that in our culture, we don't necessarily notice quite so much about nutrition and how it impacts our performance. And I think there's a new awareness about that, generally speaking. And certainly with COVID, there's an awareness that, you know, if you're healthy to begin with, you're less likely to have severe COVID issues, not always, but less likely. And so the carb thing is something that I have been more conscious of, not necessarily thrilled about because I love candy and ice cream. But by managing my sleep and my physical exercise, because you know, as a coach that when you're coaching, you spend most of the time sitting, right? You're sitting still. So I get out, I walk the dog, I maybe do the treadmill if it's rainy or if it's too cold to walk. And it really just sort of helps me re-energize. And then I just really have cut back on carbs. So those are my three success essentials: time, money, and energy. And then the fourth life hack I've learned to incorporate is always be learning something. A new skill, a new ability. Maybe it's just something new you're learning. Maybe you're learning about, you know, French art from the 14th century or something. And the reason why I found that's important for me is two things. First of all, it expands your possibilities. You have more choices available to you because you have more skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. And it also develops self-confidence, right?
Right.
And a perfect example of that, again, is me redoing my website. I've been on this particular website platform for 4 years and have relied on a website developer in the past. And, you know, after the website developer would create a page, I would go in and tweak it and adjust it. And over time, I've gradually been picking up skills. And so right now, because my business completely went under, I didn't have the money to pay a website developer. So if I wanted a new website, I was gonna have to do it myself, right? And so based on the skill sets I already had, I must have sent 100 emails to the support desk. I'm sure they like knew me by name. Okay, it's 2:00. Where's Valerie's support ticket? I'm sure it's coming any second. But I really learned a lot. And in learning a lot and doing my own website, I found some mistakes that he had made on my previous websites. Now, they weren't big mistakes, and they obviously didn't impact the overall functioning of that website. But they were things that are like, you kind of told me that was not a thing and here it is a thing. And I think you were kind of schmoozing me on that one, right? So it expanded my possibilities. Even if I don't do my website again, I know what can and can't be done and how it can and can't be done. And it also increases your self-confidence. Every time you learn something new, you feel more confident in your own ability to cope with everyday challenges. And let's be honest, this year has been challenge after challenge. And it also increases your confidence that you can learn a new skill. Like, absolutely. Right? Like if you learn one thing, you're like, oh, well, this is sort of similar. I can probably learn that too. And then, you know, and then you just keep building on that. So I think always learning is a really important thing. I think sometimes as coaches, we spend so much time investing and teaching others that we forget to make sure we have time that we're learning and growing too. But I think that's an important part of maintaining sort of energy and excitement about coaching is to make sure that you're growing too, right?
I think the more I learn about coaching, the more I see the value in being coached.
Yes.
And continuing to have someone that I'm being mentored by
and
referring to for my own, you know, those accountability checks.
Right. I always think of that comment that Tony Robbins sometimes makes in his presentations. Tony Robbins, obviously a leading motivational speaker. He said that when he was first starting out, he was horrible. And aren't we all horrible when we're first starting out? He would sign up for all these workshops and he would go to the workshops. And sometimes he would be disappointed because the workshop wouldn't be as good as he thought it should be. You know, he thought there should be more preparation or that they should have covered more stuff. And so he would leave the workshop feeling really depressed and, you know, waste of time and sort of crabby around the edges. And he decided that he was going to approach the workshops from the perspective of, I can at least learn one thing from this workshop. Even if I sit here for 3 hours and I only learn one thing and I can implement that one thing, I'm growing and developing as a person. And I just loved that idea. And so I confess a few times I've used it in church. You know, when you're like, okay, this might be just a tiny bit on the boring side, right? And you're like, I might need to take a nap here. I've just thought, okay, I need to look for that one thing, that nugget of truth that's really going to help me. And so I've always liked that advice and, you know, just thought it was really, really good.
That is good. I had forgotten he had said that, but it's so true. And sometimes the one thing that you learn is what not to do or what to do different.
So true. So true. And so that sort of leads into my fifth success hack is practice, practice, practice. In pageantry, it's considered practicing. In the outside world, the real world, it's considered working hard or going the extra mile. And speaking of church again, 1 year we were doing a Christmas party and all the families were coming together and there was going to be Santa and gifts and for the kids and everything. And we were doing a breakfast. And so they wanted everyone to bring a breakfast casserole or some part of the breakfast. Okay, so Karen, I'm a terrible cook. It's not good. No. Just because I cook it does not mean it's edible, right? We should not assume that you can actually eat it. And so I was assigned a breakfast casserole. I've never made a breakfast casserole in my life. And so I went on, you know, the website and found a Paula Deen, because how could you go wrong with a Paula Deen breakfast casserole, right? But I knew that I needed to practice it, right? Mm-hmm. I would need to like practice it to make sure I knew how to make it and the flavors were right and they turned it out okay. And since I knew there were going to be kids at the little breakfast, Santa breakfast, I had my grandson come over and taste it. I mean, I went through a very thorough practice and I'm glad I did because it was too spicy for children. It was great for adults, but too spicy for children, right? So I go back to the grocery store, right? And I'm going to practice two more times just to make sure. So I buy two of everything. Right, I've got two of the little, you know, foil pans, and so I've got this cart full of two of everything, and it's just breakfast casserole things. It's not like I was buying for the week, and I'm going out the door, and I run into this guy from church, you know. So I say hello, and you know, how are you? And we chat for a minute, and he looks at me, my cart, and he goes, "What are you making?" It was such an unusual collection of things. And without thinking how stupid it was going to sound, I said, "Oh, well, I'm practicing my breakfast casserole for the Santa breakfast." And I'm, you know, and what was great about it was without missing a beat, he goes, "That totally sounds like something you would do." And I laughed because I thought, okay, it's really obvious to people that I practice, I try to make sure I've got something right. And that's how you feel good about yourself, about the quality of work you're providing. And also that's how you get a reputation for doing great work. I knew that you've done that with the many speeches you've written.
Yes.
You have quite the reputation as a speech writer. And that can be very difficult, especially when you're writing for someone else, as speech writers do. And so I really think that practicing, and what one thing that people don't realize about pageant contestants is that they practice all the time. And
all the time.
You know this. And it would be nothing for me to be on an appointment with someone and say, oh, you know, what have you done today? Well, I practiced walking in my heels for an hour, and then I practiced my hair and makeup, and later on, I'm going to practice my modeling. Mm-hmm. You know, people think that when they see them on TV or at a competition, that they make it, they're so flawless and make it look easy. They don't realize all the time and energy and practice that goes into creating that illusion on stage. Yes. During the competition.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Will Smith also talks about this, how obviously he's very successful, makes gazillion dollars a year. And he talks about that he does not think of himself as a particularly talented person. He thinks of himself as fairly average, which I would disagree with, but you know, it's important what he thinks. He says, the reason I'm as successful is because I can outwork anyone. He says he has a really dedicated work ethic, and he just works and works and works at it until he gets it right. And so that's something that I found really, really helps, especially, you know, during a time like right now where things are uncertain and frustrating and challenging and difficult. I think just focusing on, if I just keep practicing at this, if I just keep doing it, I'm gonna get there.
I think that's a great tip for business, because we don't think about what we do as something we need to practice. But if you have a presentation, if you have a job interview, if you have, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, if it's a new skill or something that you don't do every day, it's not that muscle memory that just kicks in, you need to practice.
Yes, that is so true, Karen. And it's such great insight and advice. We think we should be able to do things because we understand what needs to be done. We think we should be able to do it without practice. Mm-hmm. But that's just not realistic.
No. And I think even just, you know, we talk about our elevator pitch or your sales pitch. We need to practice our pitches. And whether it's your introduction pitch for a, you know, an upcoming interview, or you're a business owner and you just need to be able, when people say, hi, I'm so-and-so, you know, what do you do?
Right.
You need to have that.
You need to know your content, and you need to be, you need to just come out of your mouth naturally. If you have to stop and think about it, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to practice it. You're absolutely right. That's really,
and
really
that's good. That's where that feeling of confidence comes from. As I know, I can say, you know, I'm Karen Gray and I'm a rock mover. I help women move rocks, fears, frustrations, challenges, obstacles from their lives and businesses. So to be able to say that and know what that means and be able to back it up when they say, oh, that's interesting, what does that mean?
Right.
Then that's where, because I said something that made sense or made them, you know, lean in, you have another opportunity to talk more. So I love that.
Yes. And then the last, the number six of my success life hacks that I call
I'm writing all these down because they're
so
good.
So good, Karen. Thank you. You're so sweet. And this is, the other ones are like really practical, productive focus. This one is maybe a little less practical, but I almost think maybe the most important. I try to create joy in every day, because if you just work, and you're not having any fun, not fun like partying or dancing in the streets, but if you're not enjoying what you're doing, or if you're not purposely looking for the joy in what you're doing, because let's be honest, there is no joy in unloading the dishwasher, okay? No joy in laundry, but there is joy in, I got the laundry done.
Yeah.
The dishwasher is empty. I love an empty dishwasher. There's just nothing more fulfilling than an empty dishwasher. I like to create or find the joy in every day. One of the ways I do that is by eliminating as much negative energy as possible. I had a really good business friend who was really, really smart. And I really liked her as a person. She had a heart of gold, but she never had a positive word to say about anyone or anything. And she only called me when she wanted to complain about things and, or she wanted to brag about being more successful than somebody else she knew. Mm-hmm. And although I really liked her as a person, I just found that those conversations just, they were too negative. And it wasn't really, it was providing value in her life because she had somebody to vent to and, you know, complain to, but it wasn't providing, the relationship was not contributing positively to my life. So I just sort of let the relationship die out. Mm-hmm. And about a year later, interestingly enough, I was contacted by a mutual friend who said that she had to do the same thing with her because she was just so negative. So I think it's okay to have people that you know, mm-hmm. that you like and respect as people and that you wish the best for, but say that the relationship doesn't work for you. So you're not rejecting the person or judging the person. Right. You're just saying this relationship is not contributing. So I've really focused on that the last couple of years. And I've also really focused on appreciating and acknowledging the little things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes something little will happen through the day and I'll be like, oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel so blessed. Thank you. And I mean, I don't necessarily say that out loud, but I sort of, because then people will think you're crazy. I say it in my head. I say it to myself. Because by recognizing the positive things, I think that sort of balances out the annoying things that happen that are just a little bit irritating, right? It's easy to focus on those things that are annoying and troublesome and not really spend as much energy acknowledging or focusing on the positive things. So I like to do that. And then I really like to speak favor, right? That's a Joel Osteen phrase, right? For those of you who don't know, Joel Osteen is the pastor of a mega church here in Houston, and he's known worldwide for being a motivational speaker and inspirational speaker. And he talks about speaking favor into your life. So when my husband and I are up against something really, really difficult, like this past summer, right in the middle of COVID, where everyone was completely locked down, no one was manufacturing everything, our washing machine went out. I couldn't get a new washing machine to save my life, right? Wow. We just couldn't get them. And we just kept speaking favor. Our new washing machine is coming every day. Our new washing machine is almost here. You know, I was hand washing things. It was just ridiculous. Wow. And I did, they did pull some strings and I did get a washing machine like 5 weeks earlier than it was originally estimated. But I just find that by speaking faith, I mean, I don't know if that really actually helped getting the washing machine, but it sure made me feel better during the process.
Yes. And sometimes that's a bigger hurdle and a bigger accomplishment. Absolutely. Yes,
I totally agree. Those are kind of my little six success hacks that I always try to be, engaging in or using really on a daily basis.
I love those. So helpful.
I'm one of those people that is really good at what I call inch work. I've always really admired those people who can turn on a dime and just do a massive amount of change or produce a massive amount of work in a short period of time. I am so not that person. It's just not my energy level. It's just not my gift, but I'm really good at inch work where you just keep moving forward little bit. And so by doing things on a daily basis, I find that really helps me stay on track and be successful. And so I no longer, you know, expect myself to operate in this other way. I'm just comfortable with, this is what works for me. And this is what creates success for me.
So I hope someone is listening in right now that needs to hear that, because I feel like what you just said is so important. We all have to look at what works for us.
Yes.
And just because maybe a friend that we have or someone that we know or a mentor in our life does something a certain way and has tremendous success with it does not always mean that that's what's going to work for you. And so you learn and you kind of grasp things. And this is what I tell our pageant girls, learn from everyone you can.
Yes.
But then make it work for you. Put your fingerprints on it and make it your own.
That's and a then, great phrase, put your fingerprints on it. I love that.
Thank you. We have to imprint it like you do a horse. You have to imprint something and make it your own. And so, you know, by putting your fingerprints on it, I mean, like, get your hands around it, really own it, and then check where you were yesterday, because you're not trying to be better than that person or that person right. or that person, but you're trying to be better than you were yesterday or your last job or your last pageant or your last project, whatever it is that you're improving on. You just want to be better than your last.
Right.
And so those are all such good habits and such a good reminder, Valerie. Thank you for sharing that, because I think right now for someone that's going to hear this, and then I know for me too, that was just like, yes, that's so relieving to know and be reminded, because we all forget and go back into that kind of rat race comparison in a world where you're seeing everybody's best picture, best, you know, image, airbrushed version. Right. You know, you're just trying to be better than you were at another time, or improve in a way that you feel more confident about, not even better than, just you feel better about it.
I think that's a great way to put it. I really do. That's a great way.
Because I feel like maybe in some ways I was better in my 30s, but I feel like I'm much wiser in my 50s about those things. And I feel like the things that you said when you talk about creating joy in every day, for me, that starts with gratitude. Mm-hmm. When I am ungrateful about something, I tend to find myself complaining or seeing it from a negative lens. But when I see it through the lens of gratitude and appreciate that thing, even if it's a challenge or a mistake I made, I see it as an opportunity to do it differently, learn again.
Yes.
So when I see it through that lens of gratitude, and so that's what I choose to do at the end of my day, how you know, make your plans for the next day. I have a little gratitude journal that someone gave me, and I'm almost at the end of it. I've got to find another one. But I love that it gives you little writing prompts.
Oh,
that,
right.
That helps you, you know, today I'm most thankful for this, or today I did well at this, or, you know, you fill in the blanks. But when I can end my day with finding the good in it, it helps me see the good the next day, because I know I'm going to have to write about it at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to be noticing it so you can fill out the prompt.
Right. Right. So I know I'm looking for the good things in each day. And there are times I'm like, oh, that's a noteworthy. I'm just going to go write it right now, because I am so grateful that I did this, or I didn't respond in this way. More often than not, if I'm dealing with a lot of people.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's like, wow, I didn't handle that situation the way I might have a few years ago, being impatient or, you know, whatever. But I just find that coaching has helped me tremendously in those areas. And those are things that you have been teaching for years. And I love that you transitioned into not just sharing your talents with the pageant world, which was, I know, so impactful, but now you're sharing it with the adult business world as well, people who are searching for jobs. And so I can't wait to be able to share what you're doing so people can connect with you. We will share your links, but what's the best way for people to find you out there?
To my website, because the website has links to just about everything else. You can also find me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. On Facebook, I have a business page and a personal page. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, it's kind of just a business page. And it's really kind of exciting because it sort of happened organically. Contestants that I had worked with started calling me and saying, I've been laid off because of COVID. I lost my job. My husband lost his job because of COVID. And can you help me with my resume and interview? And they knew that I would be helpful, not only because of my pageant coaching experience, but because I had been in human resources for almost 20 years. Before I did pageant coaching. So I worked at three different Fortune 500 companies hiring people. I've hired everything from security guards to patent attorneys and a speechwriter for the CEO. So I've seen all kinds of resumes and you know, sat in on thousands of interviews. And there's nothing more meaningful to me as a coach than to help someone get to where they're trying to be, especially people who have lost their jobs. Mm-hmm. Or have a family member who's lost their job. I'm currently working with a woman who lost her job in August in the hospitality industry, which is very challenging to find a job. And she had a second interview and she called me to help her with her second interview because she really, really was hoping to get the job and get hired quickly enough so that she could get a couple paychecks before Christmas to put some gifts under the tree. And there's just
there's not much more impactful than that.
No, you could hear the heartbreak of the fact that she maybe was going to be facing a Christmas with not really a lot of celebration. And so helping people move their own rocks. Mm-hmm. And even if they didn't necessarily put it in their own way, obviously she was not let go because she wasn't a good employee or she had performance issues. She was let go because the business, you know, almost went under. And now the job that she did get a job offer. So we're super excited about that.
Yay!
Yes, and she will get two paychecks before Christmas. And the job that she has now is even better than the job she had before. It's a bigger company. There's more career progression. So it's really, really wonderful to help other people move their own rocks. You can't necessarily move rocks for them, but if you teach them the skills it takes and the abilities they need to move this rock, then next week, next month, or next year, they're going to be able to move another rock.
Yes, and that's where the power and the beauty comes from, is empowering them to move their own rocks. And I know you are so, so good at that. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Obviously you helped her, you've helped us. And I just want my rock movers to know that you're available and can help them as well. So we'll definitely put all the links in, and I want, you know, whoever needs some extra rock moving business skills and interview skills and resume help to be able to tap into your amazing talent. So thank you for sharing that with us and with my community. I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. You offer such a wonderful space of safety and encouragement, but also practical real advice, that it's just really nice to be here with you.
Wow. It is my honor and a pleasure. And I can't wait to share you and just to stay connected with you and support you in your new endeavor. And so if anything we've said today during our call and the things that Valerie has shared has spoken to you or just ministered to your heart, please, please, please don't hesitate. Reach out to her. She is a tremendous resource and an amazing human that I'm so honored to call my friend. So thank you, Valerie Hayes. Mwah. I wish you all the best and much success, which I know will happen because that's just who you are. But thank you for sharing with our rock movers today.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but that was so much fun, and I loved sharing that interview with you. So if you would love to hear more interviews like this one, please like and follow us, because we have some amazing guests coming up. And if you'd love to be on the episode or love to recommend someone to be on the Rock Movers, please connect with the link in the show notes. I'm all about sharing amazing people, and I love meeting new people who are changing the world around them or moving rocks. So Again, thanks for staying, thanks for being a part of my world, and thanks for making a difference. Until next time, see you later.